This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is Wednesday, the 30th of March. My name is Audrey Raj, and joining me in the studio is
Frida Liu.
On the show today, we're going to be talking about happiness in the workplace, how happy people are more productive people. Now, why should leaders care if their teams are happy? You know, apart from the fact that people want to work for people who care about their happiness, research does suggest that happy people are more productive at work. And we'd like to hear your thoughts. Do you agree? Do you disagree?
Let us know on Twitter at BFM Radio and also via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And of course, the International Day of Happiness was on March 20th. Never too late to talk about it, you know, because it is important.
Yes. Now, Professor Andrew Oswald, Dr. Eugenio Proto and Dr. Daniel Scroy, I'm pretty sure I butchered that one. Yeah. From the Department of Economics at the University of Warwick, led a number of experiments to actually test the idea that happy employees work harder. Now, in the lab, they found happiness made people around 12% more productive. This is the first causal evidence using randomized trials and piece rate working. Now, this study that will be published in the Journal of Labor Economics included four different experiments with more than 700 participants. And during the experiments, a number of the participants were either shown a comedy movie clip or treated to free chocolate, drinks and foods. There were four different kinds, right? And others were questioned about recent family tragedies such as bereavements, you know, to assess whether lower levels of happiness were later associated with lower levels of productivity.
I say it's the chocolate. Anyway, Professor Oswald said companies like Google have invested more in employee support. Employee satisfaction has risen as a result. For Google, it rose by 37%. They know that what they're talking about. So under scientifically controlled conditions, making workers happier really pays off. Dr. Sgroy added the driving force seems to be that happier workers use the time they have more effectively, increasing the pace at which they can work without sacrificing quality. Dr. Proto believes the research had implications for employers and promotion policies, and he said, we have shown that happier subjects are more productive. The same pattern appears in four different experiments. This research will provide some guidance for management in all kinds of organizations. They should strive to make their workplaces emotionally healthy for their workforce.
Yeah, so what can leaders, what can organizations do to promote happiness and within their teams, you know, in their offices and in their workplace? Well, we have a couple of tips with plenty of details. The first bit is to make positivity a habit. Now, happiness expert Nick Marks recommends holding a weekly meeting where your team reflects on what went well and not so well over the past week. I'm still stuck on the fact that he is a happiness expert.
Right.
Now, he says this meeting is a great place to call out people's achievements and acknowledge the support of colleagues. And over time, teams learn to appreciate each other and create what psychologists call positive resonance, where good feelings build on each other, resulting in increased positivity. I wonder if that can happen with negativity as well. Now, Marx, who is the creator of the Happy Planet Index, also advises leaders to have one-on-one meetings with team members at least once a month and don't leave it to your annual reviews, you know. And he said, instead, take time to listen to their experiences and encourage them to recognize their achievements and help them deal with difficulties and frustrations. People perform better when they work to their strengths. And as a leader, it's your job to help remove frictions and annoyances.
Right. Second one is crack a few jokes. All right. So a dose of humor can nudge people into feeling relaxed, connected to your teams and generally happier. This is Dr. Brian Kaplan, co-author of Almost Happy, Pushing Your Buttons with Reverse Psychology. So laughter, he said, has been proven scientifically to reduce stress, improve breathing, increase levels of our natural feel-good hormones. It's actually a form of exercise. He also suggests that leaders who want to introduce more human laughter into workplace should invite people to share funny stories of what has happened to them in the last few days. Laughter coaches can be employed for online sessions to get everyone in a team laughing, breathing more deeply and feeling happier.
Laughter. First, there's the happiness expert and now there's a laughter coach.
Yeah,
okay, we're missing out. All right, number three, build cognitive trust. Now, successful teams tend to be happy teams. So psychologist George Carceras, founder of consultancy team-up company, says his advice is to make meaningful team success your primary goal. Now, he also advises start building cognitive trust by ensuring the team is united on why it exists, the goals it shares, and the plans required to get there. Mental well-being and happiness are improved when team members have some certainty, especially in today's uncertain world. And making sure roles and responsibilities are clear is especially important to well-being, as aligning on expectations is known to reduce anxiety and stress.
Right. Mm. Another one is very simple. Be kind, right? I think we've forgotten to do that. Leaders promote and perpetuate happiness by ensuring that they feel secure in themselves, so they're inclusive, considerate, and kind. This is a quote from Anna Ellen Tanby, a clinical psychologist, workplace well-being expert, and author of Healthy Leadership in Organizations Beyond the Shadow Side. She said it also requires good and active psychological self-care for themselves and their teams, so people feel able to look after self and others, respecting each other's diversity. She advocates a leadership style that includes listening, praising, and giving freedom to team to do the understood work their way. And she also said being open enough to allow staff to admit to errors so that they learn and grow is also key.
Yeah. Number five, value every role. Now, isn't it odd how well we treat people with the desirable, high-status jobs, but often dismiss people doing other things that we would hate to do? But, you know, I think over the course of this pandemic, we've realized just how even this,
yes,
you might perceive it to be a small role, but it plays such a huge impact. Look at all the frontliners we have, not just those in the medical industry, but, you know, across the board, down to people who help
deliver us our food.
Yes, help us keep our drains clean and, you know, flood-free and things like that. Now, according to Grant J. Ryan, an economist, inventor, and author of Comparonomics, Why Life is Better Than You Think and How to Make It Even Better, he says that the best organizations recognize that all roles are essential for a functioning team. It is much more fun and productive environment when everyone is treated with respect. Ryan also believes that leaders play a key role in setting the tone in an organization about how the whole team is valued, and making everyone feel appreciated is not only the right thing to do, it does make for a happier workplace, he says.
A final tip, surprise and recognize. So the best leaders engage teams emotionally to make happiness last, according to Brian Hartzer, and he's a former CEO of Australian Bank Westpac and author of The Leadership Star, A Practical Guide to Building Engagement. He makes the following three recommendations. First of all, show them you care. You know, people want to know that you care about them as individuals, not as a human resource. Find a quiet time to ask each team member, how are you, right? Pay attention and then take action to help in ways that show you're genuinely interested in their well-being and career growth. Secondly, show them why. So to be a happier world, people need to believe that what they do all day matters. Help them understand why the organization exists. Invite a customer or business partner to talk about how they benefit from the team's work, or take the team on a tour to see how their services are being used. And finally, surprise and recognize. And the best recognition is unexpected, personalized, and heartfelt. He said, be creative and help them see that what they've achieved together really matters.
Now, I mean, this is like, we're talking about this today, but I just remember early on, in the early days of Enterprise BizBytes, we were talking about things like office place perks, like gym memberships and free food at the pantry and all of those things, right? Like maybe your parents are covered, insurance coverage, and, you know, things like that are covered. But like, I think workplace perks now are very different to us. What, especially after this pandemic, what really helps us feel included, what makes us feel employee engagement, employee satisfaction, all of that has really changed, especially because of the pandemic.
Right, right. And I think like all the more so, right, because, and even though you can't meet a person face to face, you know, you can actually make the, you know, a Zoom call, right? Just to find out how are you, right? And simple things. It's nothing, if you look at it, it's nothing difficult, right? But it's like a simple thing. Be kind.
Yeah. Be kind, listen, and, you know, a tap on the back, you know, a word of praise where it's necessary, acknowledgement. Right. Now, after the break, we'll be hearing from Ulrika Brunner, the CEO of Learning Solutions Organizations, Inspire Group Asia, for her take on happiness in the workplace. But in the meantime, talk to us. Do you need workplace perks to be happy at work? What is your definition of happiness in the workplace? What would make you happier in the workplace?
All right. You can let us know via Twitter at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
For now, we have Curtis Mayfield with Move On Up, a personal favorite of both myself and Frida. But we'll be back in just a few minutes with Ulrika on the line with us. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Brand-friendly marketeers, BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
And we're back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are talking about how happy people are more productive people. It was International
Happiness Day on March 20th, so 10 days ago. We're just celebrating it the whole month.
Yes.
Just
yes,
like International Women's Day.
Now, why should leaders care if their teams are happy? Well, research has suggested that happy people are more productive at work. And we gave you some tips about how you can be, you can help increase the happiness in the workplace, you know, with your teammates. And we have a guest
with us. All right. Yeah. And of course, there's been some research about, you know, this whole thing. I mean, it's not just like, it sounds very good and it sounds very nice, but actually this is research based, and there's a couple of people that did research around this with 700 people. Of course, you can also chime in with your thoughts via Twitter at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. But on the line we have Ulrika Bruna, Chief Executive Officer, Learning Solutions Organization, Inspire Group Asia, to talk about this and to give us her take on happiness in the workplace. So Ulrika, good afternoon. How do you think happiness plays a role in the workplace?
It plays a crucial role at work, just as it does away from work. Mm. In my experience, if we are happy at work, we will make better decisions. If you're in a state of constant fear, it actually constrains your thinking. Mm. You'll be in panic mode. Mm. And when you're happy and feel safe, you allow yourself to be creative, and usually, of course, as a follow-up, you are more motivated as well.
Right.
According to the Harvard Business Review, the biggest impact on health and happiness is the quality of our relationships. And interestingly, the Mayo Clinic found that the person you report to at work is more important for your health than your family doctor. Certainly something to think about in these COVID times, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Right. Okay. That's food for thought. Ulrika, now what is the relationship between happiness and productivity? You know, we were talking about the study that was done early by the University of Warwick, but what is that tie, that relationship between happiness and productivity?
I've heard that some research has apparently argued that productivity isn't affected when people are unhappy at work. Mm. But wouldn't all of us rather be working in a workplace that makes us feel good?
Right.
Imagine what a difference it makes when a salesperson is happy with what they do rather than being miserable with their job, and how that is perceived by the customers that they interact with. Mm. And I think as leaders, it might be a good idea to remember that the people that come to work are the husbands and wives and sons and daughters of people that love them. So isn't it a good idea to do our best to return them home at the end of the day in good shape, even if we can't put an ROI on it?
Right. I like that. Return them home in good shape, right? Now, Ulrika, is there a distinction between workplace perks and workplace benefits?
Yes, I think so. Benefits are something that you agree upon before joining a new employer. So it could be additional days of leave, or it could be some financial support to pay for expenses like schooling of your children. Things like that I would call benefits. Mm. And perks are usually not expected. They're not something that have been agreed upon, you know, in writing prior to you joining an organization. And so they are unexpected. And I would say when they mean the most, they are a surprise to the people that get to enjoy them and will make you smile.
Right. Okay. But how do workplace perks and workplace benefits factor into the whole idea of employee happiness? How does that work?
By offering benefits that keep employees happy, you can mitigate the risk of high turnover. People will feel well taken care of and more likely to stay with you. Perks like, for example, rewards or recognition from the senior leadership team help us feel appreciated and create a sense of belonging. Mm. I see this as the glue that strengthens the bond we have with the company we work for and also with our colleagues. And showing our appreciation makes such a difference. So why not take every opportunity to contribute to the people around us? It doesn't have to mean a big investment.
Right.
Just celebrate successes a lot.
Right. And showing appreciation doesn't cost
anything,
right? Yeah. So why is it important for leaders to consider employee happiness, Ulrika?
COVID, I think, has really helped to place well-being on the center stage for leaders and HR practitioners these past few years. And prior to COVID, many employers would have considered talking about happiness and well-being as fluff. But as humans, I think most of us prefer to see people happy and fulfilled rather than sad and miserable. But this isn't just important for people's happiness. It's about their health. Like the Mayo Clinic, they found that the person you report to at work is more important for your health than your family doctor, like I mentioned before. So as leaders, I think we need to take this very seriously, that our role is important in people's well-being and health.
Yeah. Now, Ulrika, what are some ways leaders can better encourage employee happiness? Like, how can they up the level of employee happiness in the workplace?
Ask questions. Lots of questions. Find out what makes the employees happy. Ask them, what makes you happy? And what is important to you and why? And when you're doing that, to really listen with care. Don't try to fake it. Be curious. Find out what they like and how they like to work and with what. And it's not just a one-off conversation that you do once or twice a year when you talk about performance, but some, you know, I would say to recalibrate and keep in conversation and find out what is working for the team at any particular time.
Right.
So continuous conversations and touching base with them and checking in on them. One potential benefit when you do this is that you will start to see opportunities for people to maybe even change their roles to an area that they are interested in. And so that may be something that you may never have realized if you didn't ask them lots of questions. So there's an opportunity here for people to move and change their roles, for example. And again, that helps with the employee happiness because they get challenged and are entrusted to try something very different. Just generally, I would say that successful leaders do four things. First, they give autonomy while providing clarity and purpose. Second, they listen, and then listen some more. Thirdly, they provide opportunities for people to grow. And fourth, not solve problems for the employees or openly disagree by saying no in front of others or even to them directly, but ask question and make it more like coaching on the go. So use sort of coaching techniques to ask the questions. And that will help also to guide the employee to find their own solutions rather than you providing the solutions for them.
Right. A final question, Ulrika. How could a company's long-term impact change if they put happiness first?
if you make happiness a constant part of the conversation at work and it is embedded in the company's culture, then your employees will bring this with them throughout their career. I do believe that as a leader, you also need to provide clarity and purpose so that people in your team are clear on their role and how they contribute. I heard about this one group of people who, even 10 years after leaving the original organization where they had worked together and gone their separate ways, these colleagues remained close and connected,
right,
but most of all true to the commitment of creating a caring environment in their new places of work. They carried those same values with them, ultimately impacting many more people and organizations along the way of their careers. And I think that's really powerful when it stays with you, because you see what works for you and you want to share that with others. When we take responsibility for how we show up and how we are committed to other people's happiness, magic happens. I would say maybe start small by finding out what the team's strengths are and what drives them, by asking lots of questions and being curious. And obviously you need to do this from a position of authenticity. You cannot fake it.
Thank you so much for that, Ulrika. That was Ulrika Brunner, Chief Executive Officer of Learning Solutions Organization Inspire Group Asia. So it still kind of echoes what we discussed before the break, right? It really doesn't take much to show your appreciation, but you need to do this. You need to do this, I guess, more frequently,
right,
and there needs to be like genuine concern and care. And I think my biggest takeaway was
listen,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when someone's not listening, right? They can pretend to be listening and they've got their own agenda going on. It's like, you just haven't heard anything I've just said, right?
Yeah.
And simple things like that really affects a person,
yeah,
right? So listen, sometimes just zipitup.com.
All right. We have, of course, been talking about how happy people are more productive people. If you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts, all the Enterprise Biz Bytes podcasts, on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. We'll have more Enterprise Biz Bytes for you same time tomorrow. But for now, on behalf of Frida Liu and myself, Audrey Raj, thank you for joining us. See you again tomorrow. BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.